Morning. I want to remind our young men, got some heads shaking there. I want to remind our teenage young men that our preacher's camp is coming up, June 14th through the 21st. Hope that you'll have the opportunity to be at that. We moved it this year back to June. We moved the girls' camp to July because there were some football camps and other camps that were kind of were on that week that we had in July, so we thought we might could remedy that and enable more of our young men to come. We've sent out advertisements through Virginia, North Carolina, and South Carolina, so we hope that we have a good number of boys this year for our preachers' camp. You know, we always need more preachers, and not necessarily those that do it every week or full-time, so to speak, as some do, but those that are just able to fill in. We are so blessed here at this congregation that I know that if I'm going on a Sunday or even if I get sick on Saturday night, which is my nightmare for anybody else, because if I get sick on Saturday night, you get a call on Saturday night going, hey, you need a sermon in the morning. And you may not have the hundreds and hundreds of sermons that I have just on file in my computer, so it's a little more difficult for people. But we are very blessed here to have a lot of men that can fill the pulpit, not just fill the pulpit, but fill it well. And we should be thankful to God that we are so blessed to be able to do that. And we also are able to take that blessing and take it out to other congregations that need help, need men to come out and speak and to teach. And so, you know, we are looking to train the next generation of those type of Christian men. Some that might want to, and I hope they do want to do it as their whole life, but also those that may be able to do it as opportunity arises and is needed. Now, I know that, you know, I kind of get on Trey. I tell him I think he should be a preacher because last Sunday night during the Bible challenge, he got to getting on his phone on his Bible and questioning my questions. I finally made him put his phone away. He was never right, of course, but I do love that spirit. I love Trey and his willingness. He always has good questions for me, always searching the scriptures, and I so appreciate him for that. I give him a hard time about it, but I love him for it. And I hope that that's the case with all of our young people, that they love God's Word and want to study it and want to know more about it. So go to the website. Jeff has put the applications there, and if you can come and you have that week available, please, young men, come and be a part of the preacher's camp this year. You know, I think that all of us wish that we could love better. I know I look at and I see with crystal clarity my many failings when it comes to love. I want to love better. I want to love more. You know, we wish that we showed more love to our family members. You know, I think we all look and we go, I wished I'd have done more. I wished I'd have done this or done that or not been so caught up in this or that that I failed to give and to show the things that I needed to give and show to people in my family. I think we wish that we check on people more. I fail you so many times in that. And I know that we all feel that way, that we wish we had checked on people more. And suddenly we realize we didn't check on them, and we wish that we had loved them more and shown more love toward them. You know, I know that we wish that we were better at helping people with their problems more. And sometimes that's so difficult and that's so hard, and it takes so much love to do that day in and day out. And I know that we look at sometimes in our lives and we wish, I wished I was there more for people's problems. You know, I know that we wish that we were better at having compassion toward others, empathy with others, as we see their lives and what they're struggling with. And sometimes those are things that maybe we don't see the reason why it's difficult, but it doesn't matter whether we see the reason why it's difficult for them. It is. And we need to have that kind of compassion for them. I think, and hopefully we all think about and wish that we love God more. Wish I was more serious in my love toward God. Wish I was more dedicated. Wish my love was more substantive and more meaningful. I think these are things that any conscientious Christian, I think these are things that go through our minds as we try to be better. I mean, we all understand that we have not arrived, as Paul told the Philippians, but that we're always pressing toward Him. We're always pressing toward Christ. We're always pressing toward the example that He has set before us. But what is the secret? I mean, is there a secret to loving better? There has to be this secret ingredient that can help make us love in more powerful ways in our lives. And I think that there is at least one ingredient that we need to consider this morning. And the secret of loving is knowing. You know, this truth is demonstrated in human relationships. True love between husband and wife is based upon knowledge and understanding one another. You know, we meet someone. We're young and we go and we meet someone. We decide to date them for a time. And what is dating? Dating is getting to know that person. And sometimes we dated those people and we got to know them and realized I really don't want to spend the rest of my life with this person, right? That's kind of what we're doing. Getting to know someone. And then we start dating that person that's probably sitting next to you right now and has been sitting next to you for many decades at this point. We start dating that person and we get to know them, and you never get to that point where you go, I don't want to spend the rest of my life. It just gets closer and closer to where you go, I want to spend my life. Because knowledge of that person creates love. I grow closer and closer, but the reason I grow closer and closer is because I know them better and better. See, I thought that on May 15th, I had to think about the date. It's coming up, right? I don't need to forget that. I thought on May 15th, 1993, that I loved her. I really did. I thought, man, I love this girl more than anybody in the world. I love her in a way that no one else knows love. But I tell you today, 22 years later, that I didn't know love then. Because the more I've come to know her, the more I've loved her. And my love for her today makes the love I had for her that day at that church building when I saw her coming down the aisle, makes that love pale to insignificance because of knowledge. Because I know more about her today than I did then. Knowledge is really, knowing is the key to love. Strong friendships are also based upon knowing each other well. They are strong. The strongest ones are those people that you have known a long time. You know them. Maybe you've known them since you were children, and you pretty much know your entire histories. You know, and not only that, you have knowledge of each other in the good and the bad times, right? You've been through some difficulties together. You've cried with each other. You've laughed. You've gone through some hardships. And it is the knowledge of that person and them being there and their heart that has been shown to you over the years, and you know that heart now, it causes you to love them with a love that is so deep that it's might as well be family. They're just that good a friend. You know, brethren who love one another are those who have made the effort to know each other. I love you, and some of you I love very deeply because I know you very well. Some of you I'm still in the process of getting to know you, and we have people come in and that process begins, right? And the love is there. There's a base love there. I love, you know, that we have for everybody, but that love can build as we get to know people, right? We begin to appreciate them. We begin to appreciate what they do and what they can contribute to the Lord's church, what they contribute to my life, what they can give to me, how they inspire me, how they build me up. And I love them. And we grow. But, you know, we have got to make an effort with that. I remember a young lady at one of the first congregations I preached at. She got upset and eventually she said, I just don't feel like anybody cares about me. I don't feel like anybody really wants to engage with me or anything. But here's the problem. You'd walk up to her and you go, how are you today? Fine. How's your week? Good. Everything going well? Yeah. No effort to let you get to know her. No effort to bring you in. We have to open our lives up, right? And it's the same, you know, and we got to open our lives up and let people in. But that sometimes people don't want to let people in. We don't want to let people know us. We don't want to give the effort ourselves to get to know others. And then we wonder why nobody's close to us. I've got to put the effort out there to not only know you, but to let you know me so that you can love me like I can learn to love you through knowing. You know, there is nothing different when we apply this same thing to God, is it? It is the same thing with our relationship with God. The more we come to know God, the more we come to know Jesus Christ, the more you're going to love Him. The more you're going to love the Father, the more you're going to love the Son, the more you're going to love the Holy Spirit, especially when we grow in our understanding of their love for us as we reciprocate the love. God loved us first, not us first, but Him first. And we reciprocate love to Him as a result of what He's done. But you will only love God when you know Him. When you come down, everybody can quote John 3:16, but very few people know the God of John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It's easy to quote. Whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's easy to quote. But do we find the love of the God that's in that verse? Do we see, do we know Jesus Christ on a cross? Dying. Bleeding, hurting, barely able to take a breath, and thinking about you, thinking about me, and constantly saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let me tell you what, He's not praying that prayer for the men, just for the men nailing His nails in His arms, and those that are nailing the nails in His feet, and those that beat Him, and those that are mocking Him. He's not just saying that. He's saying that prayer for Nathan. Father, forgive him, for he knows not what he's doing. He knows not how he hurts me with his sin. See, when I come to know that Jesus, when I come to know that cross, I love. That's why Jesus said, when I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That's why, because when I know that, when I know the cross, when I know Him, when that's the reason it's the center of the gospel. When I know that, I will love, and when I love, I will give my life to Him. You know, when we look at the blessings of our lives that God gives to us, count your many blessings, we sing in the song, but do you really take time to do that? Do you really see all that God has done for you? Have you ever left this country and seen how blessed you are? To live where you live, to have what you have. There's nothing wrong with living where you live and having what you have, as long as you understand where you are and what you have, and that God gave it to you. You know, we love people when they give us gifts, right? We appreciate that. They've done something for me. You know, you say a person, you hear a person go, I love this person because they did this and they did this for me, right? When I was in this difficulty, they were there for me, right? They were giving something. It might not be a physical gift, but they were giving something of themselves. Folks, no one has given to you what God has given to you. And it deserves the greatest love that exists in your heart. We need to look at our blessings. And say, wow, God has so blessed me. You know, only those who have come to know God have learned to love. And only until you learn to love God will you ever be able to learn to love others. Because see, when I come to love God, what I love about God is His love for men. Specifically, His love for me, right? And when I come to love that, then I want to have that. I want to be that in my life. So until I can love God for His love for me, I can never love you. Because I don't understand what love is without God. Because God is, as John said, love. He is the very manifestation. He is the very source of what love is. So I cannot love others. You know, God's easy to love. God's easy to love. Everything about God is deserving of love. I'm hard to love. I know y'all say about Jeannie, bless her heart, right? And that means at that point, you can say anything else about me that you want to say. Or her. That's the Southern thing, right? Bless your heart, gives you free rein. I'm hard to love. But God loves me. And I love Him for it. And I love you because He loves you. And I want to love the way He loves. You know, because we know Him. Knowing God is the first major step in the process of living the abundant life that Jesus talked about in John chapter 10 and verse 10, that we can have life. And not just life. A lot of people are living life, but we can have life and have it abundantly. An abundant life of love in Jesus Christ, knowing the truth, knowing God, and through that knowledge, being set free from the sin that would destroy us. You know, this is the beginning of the process that leads to a faithful life to God. Think about it. When we know God, we love Him. You can't help it. If you really seek and know God, you cannot help but love Him. What is there not to love? By loving Him, we obey Him. Because we don't want to hurt Him. We don't want to do things that cause Him pain because we love Him. That's why if we love Him, we keep His commandments, as Jesus said. So we obey Him. By obeying Him, we then abide in Him. Abide with Him. I want to be with the people I love, don't you? Don't you like to be around the people you love? Like to be with them? Abide with them? There's a relationship there in that term, abide. There's people I love that I don't necessarily have much time, maybe distance. I'm not with them. I don't abide with. I want to abide with God. I want to be with Him. I want to be with Jeannie. I want to be with Miranda. I want to be with Jonah. I want to be with, you know, the people that I love. I want to abide with Him. And so when I love God, then I obey Him, and I obey Him. I abide with Him. That's what John tells us in 1 John. By abiding in Him then, I bear fruit. Things come forth from me because of my love. There's expression of that love. John also said, do not love in word, but in deed. In what we do. I love you is easy. Showing I love you is sometimes very hard. And that's where we so often fail. I don't think any of us have a problem telling each other we love each other, but sometimes showing it is sometimes where the rubber meets the proverbial road. And by bearing fruit, we experience the joys of abundant living, free from the burdens of hopelessness and sin, and in the great and glorious love of Jesus Christ. See, it all begins with knowing God. And it starts a process that takes us to heaven. You know, there is a key, though, to knowing God. We come to know God, and this shouldn't be a surprise, through communication. Is that not true with our human relations? Where there is communication, there is strong relationships, right? Where people communicate, when a congregation communicates, it's a strong congregation. Where there is little or none, as far as communication, relationships suffer. They atrophy. They are damaged. And so it is with our relationship with God. Communication with God is a two-way street. He speaks with God, or He speaks to us through the Bible, written by men, by the Spirit of God, and we must be willing to listen. Talked to a lot of preachers that have done counseling over the years. I've done some, and people have been engaged in counseling. You've probably talked to people that have had difficulties in relationships, whether it's friendships or marriages or other family relationships. And one thing that you might hear a lot of times is they don't listen. I've had wives go, he doesn't listen. And he goes, what? And he doesn't probably because sometimes he doesn't have any idea how she's feeling. Sometimes it's the other way around. Sometimes neither one are listening. Right? And when there's someone you're not listening, a relationship is going to suffer when one side is not listening to the other side, right? When they're not hearing. Because if you're not listening, you're not knowing. And if you're not knowing, it's hard to love. It's hard to grow in love. God speaks to us, and we need to be willing to listen so that the relationship can become stronger. We need to do our part and listen to what He says so that God doesn't say they won't listen. And then we speak to God. So God speaks to us, and we speak to God in prayer. I look forward to telling Jeannie things that I find exciting, even as boring as they are to her. You know, yesterday I'm reading a three-volume set on the Civil War. And I started telling her about the generals that I was reading about. And she smiles and she listens. But I know she's bored to tears. Just like some of my sermons do you. Same look. But I want to tell her. I want to talk to her about what I'm excited about. Nita, you know it too, don't you, honey? I want to tell her what's exciting to me. If something happens in my day, Jeannie, I guarantee you, is probably the first person that hears it. Because I want to talk to her because of my love for her. I want to tell her about it. Folks, that's what prayer is about. Coming to a Father that wants to hear. He listens. He always listens. You know, we talk about we need to listen. He always listens. But to take it to Him. Studying in class on Sunday morning in Daniel chapter 9, and read the prayer there in Daniel 9. We talk about prayer a lot, but we don't go to that prayer, and it's an incredible prayer. But Daniel's pouring his heart out. And this morning, I asked the question, if like Daniel, have you ever just worn yourself out in prayer to God? Because by the time he's done praying in chapter 9, he's worn out. He had so much on his heart to give to the one that he loved. So we need to talk to God. We need to communicate with Him. We need to listen to Him. We need to talk to Him so that He can hear us. And He wants us to talk to Him. He says, ask, seek, knock. Interesting thing about Daniel 9 is that when Gabriel shows up at the end of the prayer, Gabriel says, God sent me when you started. God didn't even wait to hear the prayer. He answered it before Daniel even got good and going. But God wants us to ask Him. He wants us to look to Him. An example used in class this morning I think is applicable to the lesson here too. It is, yes, God knows what you need. Yes, God knows better than you know how to ask, but He still wants you to ask. It's like your children. I know my children love me, but I still love a good hug that shows it. I know my children love me, but I still love to hear them say, I love you, Daddy. I know it, but it's still nice to hear it, isn't it? And the same thing for God. He knows your heart. He knows what you're going. He knows your life. You're not teaching Him anything, but He still wants to hear you say, I love you. Still wants to see you show, I love you. So let's communicate with Him. You know, we also come to know God through experience. Sharing experiences with friends and loved ones certainly helps us to know them better. You know, the people that I have become closest to in my life are the people that I've gone through very difficult times with. There is a bond there. You know, you talk about men that have been in the trenches of warfare together, and there's a bond that's formed with those people that go through those extreme difficulties together. And it really doesn't matter. They come from all walks of life. They may even have varying beliefs religiously, but they'll have a bond that pulls them close. And all those other things kind of go off to the side because in the place of this bond. So we experience things with people. We go through difficulties with people, and it helps us to know them better. We see their hearts. It's hard to be, you know, for pretense and fakeness when it really comes down to fighting the fight, isn't it? You really just see people for who they are. It is the experience we share that make our bond of love grow stronger. This is the case in marriage. It's the case in friendships. It's the case with the congregation. What we go through together, what we endure together makes us stronger in love. As we go through life walking with God, walking with Jesus Christ, we will experience such things. We will experience how much God loves us. We will experience God's strength that is imparted to us through knowing and loving them. I cannot imagine having gone through some things in my life, and there's people that certainly have had to go through much more difficult things than I have ever had to go through, but there's some things in my life that I look back on and I go, I can't imagine having gotten through that without God, without prayer. Without knowing that no matter how that situation turned out, I still had a Father taking care of me, right? There's a great power in that experience. It makes me love God more. I know Him better as a result of such things. This same love and strength are what Paul prayed that the Ephesians would experience and comprehend in Ephesians chapter 3 in verses 14 through 21. Love. Boy, is there anything better? I mean, we all love, right? It's great. Love is great. Love is great when we express it. It makes you feel good. To show love makes you feel good to receive love. Love is a wonderful thing in our lives, and we must get to know the objects of our love. We must get to know you. You must get to know me. We must get to know God so that we can love with a deep love. That we love each other as a family. We care about each other. And that doesn't mean that we're always going to be perfect, or certainly not, but that we do our best and we try. We give our best effort to it. And you know, the larger the congregation, the more difficult sometimes that is to keep up with everything going on. And that is the challenge for us. But we need to do our very best. And out of all of us, if everybody's giving their best, I think everybody will get covered, right? I don't think anybody will be left alone. I hope not. And we will begin that process by knowing each other. You know, if I know you, I know your needs. I know what you struggle with. I understand aspects about you that I know, hey, I need to step in and help this person at this particular point. Right? Knowledge helps in that, doesn't it? It helps us express love when I know you. If I don't have any idea about what you're needing or what you're hurting or what's going on in your life, then there's no way that I'm going to be able to adequately help you be the person you need to be. And there's no way you can help anybody around you if you don't know them. Since Jenny has to be bored with Civil War stories, so do you. Battle of Shiloh. I grew up in Corinth, Mississippi. Crossroads for the two main railroads in the South. It's a very strategic location. And the battle for Corinth was actually the battle for at a place called Shiloh, which is about 20 miles to the north, which I got to go every year or two because school trips always went to Shiloh. Battle of Shiloh was 3 days long, and the casualties at Shiloh, when you added them up, that one battle, more Americans died than had died in all wars, American wars previous to that battle. Revolutionary War, War of 1812, Mexican War. That battle had more casualties than all those wars put together. I've been there and I've walked along the large graveyard that's there, the cemetery that's there. I walked along the trenches where they buried the Confederate soldiers. And I walk along and I see those graves and I see the names on them and they have their dates and things of that nature on them. It's very interesting to walk and kind of look and see what's on those things. But, you know, I can walk through there and while I certainly give it a certain amount of reverence because of what it represents, I can enjoy the day. A pretty day in Shiloh is beautiful. Fall day with the leaves. Enjoy that and laugh and talk and enjoy my family even though they're bored. I can walk amongst those graves and just smile and laugh and talk. There's a grave in Laredo, Arkansas that I do not laugh and talk and have generally a fun time at. When I stand before the graves of my grandparents, it's a very different situation. It's a very different moment for me. And there's nothing different. It's a body in the ground without a soul. It's a body that's returning to the dust, whether it's in Shiloh or whether it's in Laredo. There's nothing different in that regard. There's a tombstone at both places. What is the difference? I know her. That's the difference. I know my grandmother. She was a part of my life. And as a result of that knowledge, there was love. And that made all the difference in that grave and the graves at Shiloh that I have no idea who they are. Now, there's somebody's brother, father, son, and that's sad, and it's sad for somebody. It was sad for somebody. But not particularly for me. Because I have no knowledge of who they are. We partook of the Lord's Supper earlier. When we come to the Lord's Supper, we come to the death of Jesus Christ. We come to a grave, but it's empty. Thanks be to God, it's empty. But everything that you will get from the Lord's Supper, everything that you will ever get from remembering the death of Jesus Christ will only be based on what you know. And you will either stand before a grave and feel nothing because you don't know anything about Him, or you will stand before a grave and feel everything of love because you've taken the time to know Him. You've taken the time to learn about Him. Do you know the events of the cross? Do you know the seven things Jesus said as He died for you? Do you know what He went through? Have you looked? Have you studied? Do you know how He lived His life, leaving an example for you? Folks, if you don't know Him, you won't love Him. And you'll come to that grave. You'll come to that memorial. See, that's what a grave is, a memorial. You'll come to that memorial on a Sunday. And if you don't know Him, it won't mean much. But if you know Him, it will change your day. It'll change your week. It'll change your life. And it'll create in you a love that will drive you to be everything God wants you to be. Do you have that this morning? Do you know God? Do you know Jesus Christ? Till you do, you'll never truly love Him. You must love Him if you want to be pleasing to Him. This morning, if you are not a child of God, you are the recipient of such incredible love. Jesus Christ died so that this morning, even though you are living outside of Him, even though you are living in a life of sin outside of Him and doing the things that He would not have you do, He still died for you. He loved you so much. He died so that this morning you could come to Him, be a beneficiary of His love. And on experiencing that, begin a journey of love as you learn to know Him more every day. Well, we pray that you make the decision to do that if you are not this morning a child of God. Believe in Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Turn away from those things that have brought you, took you away from Christ. Come back to Him. Confess Him as the Son of God and be buried in baptism and have your sins washed away by the blood that was shed on that cross to rise, to walk a life in which every day you're just getting to know Him better and growing to love Him more. This morning, if you're a child of God, maybe you've forgotten your need to love. Love men, love God. Begin today. Begin by getting to know God. If it's God that you've forgotten to love, get to know those people around you. If it's people that you've forgotten to love, and know that God loves you. If we can assist you on your journey to knowing and loving God, and knowing and loving all men, we hope and pray that we can this morning. Won't you come as we stand, as we sing?